Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Of a vote does Pat Shurmur get in the quarterback competition? Before we get to that, I got to just get something off my chest really quick. I want what's best for our audience at all times.
Right.
This is a unique point in the calendar year where Nuggets basketball is done. We're going to have a champion crown in just a couple weeks. The AV season is done. We're going to have a championship or champion crown in a couple weeks. Football's coming back. That's 5 weeks from now. So it's a unique part of the calendar where maybe you can do a show if you want to do some summer viewing. I cannot recommend highly enough the show Mayor of Easttown starring Kate Winslet. Over the top good if you like thrilling suspense, mystery, cop drama. 10 out of 10, 5 stars, over the top. If this is the first time you're hearing about this, it will not be the last time you're hearing about this show. I promise you, I put my reputation behind it.
Ooh.
Mayor of Easttown. So good. So good.
Can you put something a little bit more on the line than your reputation? Not much there to be putting
Come
out
on,
there.
Man. Golly.
That was very nice.
Kate Winslet, who was the star of the Titanic. With Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, we understand that. We got it.
Mayor, 10 out of 10.
M-A-R-E.
Yeah, it sounds like mayor.
Yes.
But like,
that's what
a
I
mayor,
thought you
like
said.
A female horse.
I haven't heard of it, but what I like about it, like you said, 7 episodes, like 45 minutes each, I could do that, boom,
yep.
And it's over.
Yep.
Game over. It's not one that I got to watch 7 series
right,
of or
right,
whatever.
Right,
I love it. I'm going to check it out.
Check it out. Yep. You will not be sorry.
Okay.
All right, and if you've seen it, get back to me on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Convince Stoke, watch it with your wife. It's so good. All right, how much of a vote does Pat Shurmur get in the quarterback competition?
How much?
How much of a vote does old
Patty
get?
You know, Patty if we got get? A pie, he gets about over 50%.
Over 50?
Yeah, I mean, there's only two, really, people sitting at this table. It's Vic and Pat. That's really it. George doesn't want a piece of this. You know, this isn't George's deal. George is just going to give you the players, I think, and kind of say, here you go. George doesn't seem like the meddling type. And for George, it's kind of a sit back and year to evaluate the quarterback position to begin with. He took a conservative approach. So it's like, here's your two guys. Y'all figure it out. Let me see what it looks like. And I'm evaluating a lot of stuff in my first year. You follow that?
Yeah.
So I think for Pat Shurmur, it's really Pat and Vic at this table. I mean, could Mike Shula, the quarterback coach, be involved? I would say yes, he could be. But him and Pat Shurmur are kind of, you know, tied to the hip here.
Sure.
Right? I mean, that's they're buddies, right? I mean, you know, you don't coordinator, quarterback coach are in sync. So I don't think one would want something, the other one would want something else. I think they're kind of... copious. You follow me? They're copious together. Yeah. And
copious.
Yeah. So I don't think there's going to be any kind of
the definition like, of copious, abundant in supply or quantity.
Yeah.
Like Stoke out of training camp took copious notes, took a lot of notes. I'm
and
not sure
that wasn't
Mike Shula
was
and Pat
for.
Shurmur can be. Copious.
Yeah, that wasn't the word I was looking for. But something
copacetic?
Like... Yes. That's a one. Thank you. They're gonna be together. So I'm not concerned that one guy's gonna want one, the other guy's gonna want the other. I just really think that it's Vic and Pat. And look, Vic, he's concerned about his defense and what's going on over there. Is he invested in the quarterback? Of course. He knows Yes, he's invested in it. But at the same time, he's going to lean on Pat Shurmur to help him figure out who he should say is the starter. Because Vic is concerned, once again, about his defense. Who's in charge of the offense?
Pat Shurmur.
Exactly. Is Vic, like, you know, in Pat's ear about, you know, how to practice and how to do? No. He's kind of like, this is why I hired you, Pat Shurmur. You're the grown-up here. You're the adult here. I had the kid over here in Scangarello. I couldn't trust him. So I had to meddle, and it took up too much of my time. I just want to focus on the defensive side of the football. So you handle this. You tell me who you think it should be, and that's who it will be. So it might be upwards of 80 to 90% all Pat Shurmur.
Whoa.
I don't know how it will go, but I could see it being like that once we start talking this thing through where Vic is just like, okay, you know, Vic's watching the film. They're having meetings. They're talking about these guys, the mistakes that are made. And really, it's going to be Pat Shurmur kind of telling Vic who the guy's going to be, who's making the mistakes, who's, you know, producing better, and who they project to produce better. And that's all coming from Pat Shurmur. He's relaying this information to Vic.
You know, I like where your head's at. I think that you're maybe overblowing the percentage of the decision-making, but I like fundamentally how you got there. Because everything you said was true there.
Well, then, so why do you think I'm overblowing the percentage? If everything that I said was true?
Because...
Whoop, whoop.
If it's close and Pat Shurmur wanted Drew, I think the veto power from Vic would be very real.
Certainly. Yes. I mean, Vic ultimately, you know, has the veto power. Yes.
Let me ask you this. I heard Tyler mention this yesterday. It was kind of kicking around in my brain as a segment. I just didn't know how to get there.
But that's when you call me up and I'll fill you in on how to get there.
Is there one quarterback more than the other that is more advantageous for Pat Shurmur to get the next head coaching job?
Ooh.
Wow. He's got one more shot.
He came from Tyler Palumbus?
That's right.
Wow.
The old grizzly bear has a good thought or two. Month here, month there.
Year here, year there. That's good. That's good. Yes. Of course there is. And that would be?
Drew Locke.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Because he's developing a young quarterback.
Yes. I haven't thought of it that way. Is that the way that Pat Shurmur views it? All these guys want to be head coaches.
But
Pat's been a head coach twice. Imagine if all of a sudden, you know, they take this big step forward. That's what these owners are looking for.
That's right. That's right.
That's what these guys are looking for. Like, man, this guy can develop quarterbacks. Can you develop a young quarterback? And if Pat Shurmur can say, look, second round pick. Yeah, we weren't good his first year, but that's because we didn't have an offseason. Once I was able to mold him and get him going and really coach him, look, 11-6, you know, 25 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. That's what you bring, and you drop it on the owner's desk or the general manager's desk when you're looking for a job.
Right.
So,
because typically NFL teams who are looking for a new coach, they just fired theirs. And if coaches are getting fired, you either have a young quarterback or about to get in a situation with a young quarterback, usually.
That's right. That's right. And it's all about developing that guy.
Right.
Chargers.
Yeah.
Hey, you gotta develop Herbert. So that's usually the case. You're either going to be drafted one or you have one that you need to be developed and the other guy didn't develop them enough.
But there's also great risk with that as well. Because if it doesn't, and let's just say, we're this is all hypotheticals here, but let's just say it was close and Pat Shurmur wants to go with Drew Locke. Because maybe it does put him in a more advantageous position to get his last head coaching job. If it doesn't work out, you've continuously now showed that you can't develop a young quarterback on the heels of Daniel Jones as well. And maybe his days of being an OC in this league are done.
Yeah.
Where if you have success with Teddy, and it's maybe not, you know, rocket ship success, it's moderate success, you're coming back as the Broncos OC.
Right. Yeah, no, that's another good way to look at it. Right? What happens if it doesn't work? Now it's game over for you. And look, it's fun to talk about it, but I think at the end of the day that they're going to play the best quarterback that they think is going to give the Broncos the best chance to win this year. It's not about looking towards Pat Shurmur's future, what might be the better option for him to possibly get a head coaching job. Because, like you said, they have its pros and its cons for both things. So I think you go into it with, hey, let's just pick the best quarterback for the Broncos in the situation to help them win. And if we do that and we do win, everything else takes care of itself. Doesn't matter if it's a young guy that you develop, the old guy, you just need to have success. And that's the bottom line. And if that happens, everything else takes care of itself. So, but I do. I think most of this will be on Pat Shurmur to make the decision. He's the one calling the plays. He's the one that has to feel comfortable with the quarterback. Vic's not calling the plays. Vic is going to empower Pat to try to help him do his job at the best of his ability. So Vic's not going to override Pat and say, I know you want Teddy, but nope, you're going to play Drew. And the more we talk about it, the more I think, and it's more like 80% Pat Shurmur. Vic could veto anything at any given time. We know that, right?
Yep,
He's the president of the Broncos when it comes to, you know, the roster and who's going to play. He's ultimately in charge there. But I think when it comes down to it and how much Vic is just kind of saying, Pat Shurmur, this is your gig. I'm the defensive guy. Yes, I'm the head coach, and we'll discuss this, but he's going to give Pat who Pat wants.
And there also may be an extra layer to that because Drew Lock had success under an offensive coordinator. Vic fired him because they didn't get along. You hire Pat. Pat wants one quarterback. Vic wants the other. It's more sort of dissension between the head coach and the offensive coordinator. So you kind of hire Pat to put him in that position to do this.
Right. To lead your offense. And that's why the more that we talk, I think this might be just pretty much all Pat's decision. Just really all his decision. And it doesn't just happen overnight, though, Zach. That's the thing. It's not just all of a sudden, you know, one day it just happens.
Right, right, right.
This is a process.
Right.
And guess what happens throughout the process? These coaches meet. Vic will meet with the offensive staff. He'll meet with the defensive staff. Him and Pat will meet individually. They constantly are communicating and talking about the quarterback. What's the process with the quarterback? How did they look today? What did you think for the past couple of days? All of these things. So it's a process that will be, you know, a 3-week audition. And so it's not just all of a sudden, you know, yeah, Drew Lock, oh, man, he had this great day. It's going to be a lot of communication going on. And that's why I don't think it's going to be one guy wants one and then Vic is like, what do you mean? Vic's going to be relying on the information that Pat's given him
right.
to help make the decision.
Right, 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 right.
Because Pat's the one telling Vic who's performing well. Vic will watch the film, but he doesn't know certain things about the offense like Pat does. You follow me?
Following you.
So, I mean, ultimately, we kind of get to the answer, Zach. And I'm looking at, it's pretty much Pat Shurmur making this decision. Unless somebody can tell me something that I can't think of right now, that is not really all of Pat Shurmur making this decision. Because we've been out at practice. We see where Vic is. Vic's involved. They asked him about the quarterbacks. Vic's like, I don't know. I'm just calling a defensive play. I'll have to watch that later, right? That just tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
Pat Shurmur's making this decision.
Very interesting. Very interesting conversation. All right. There's a banner hanging outside the main entrance at Coors Field that is, well, I don't know if it's cruel or painfully ironic. But I'll tell you what it is next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
All right, there is a banner that is hanging outside the main entrance at Coors Field. That is, I don't know if it's a little bit cruel or just painfully ironic.
Banner.
A banner. Hanging off the...
So the Rockies have hung this banner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Rockies have hung this banner in a promotional sense for All-Star Weekend.
Perfect.
It is the banner that is closest to the main entrance at Coors Field. Promoting All-Star Weekend.
Not Nolan.
It's Nolan.
No.
I swear to God.
No.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. It's a banner of Nolan Arenado in a Cardinals uniform promoting All-Star Weekend, the weekend of July 12th. You can't tell me that that's just the one player that is, like, just randomly in front of the main entrance for Coors Field. It's almost like, come see Nolan, the guy that we used to see all the time. Yeah, he's going to be here the weekend of July 12th.
What?
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's going on, buddy? What's going on?
I'm confused. That's like the last person you would want to put up, isn't it? That's the last person that you would want to put up. You're trying to just make that go away and forget about that. Put up Vlad Guerrero Jr. Put up, I don't know, Jacob DeGrom.
Christian Yelich.
I don't know. Put someone, Tatis Jr. Mookie Betts. The last person you put up is a guy you just traded. And that, you know, people are still laughing about that trade. Like one of the worst trades ever. You traded this guy away, and now you are advertising his return back to where he used to play.
Yeah.
That to me is almost comical. And it can't be one of those things that's just of, you know, hey, oh, we messed up here. You know what you're doing. Like, oh, this is Nolan. We're going to put Nolan. Like, no, let's get someone else on this banner. It's not that hard to get a banner. Let's get someone else on this banner.
Right.
One of the other guys we just mentioned.
Yeah,
Aaron Judge.
It literally could be anyone. Xander Bogaerts. I mean, the list would go on and on and on. But it's Nolan, and it is going to happen. Let's not put Altuve. Let's not put Altuve. I love the little guy.
Hey, give him some love, man.
No.
He didn't cheat. He didn't. He's one that didn't want to do it and didn't do it.
I'll tell you what, I like Nolan a lot better than I like Jose Altuve.
Not me. Not me.
Is he your least favorite Major League Baseball player?
I don't know about least favorite. I just think he gets a pass, and he shouldn't get a pass here, right? I mean, fans just look at it, and you look at the trade, and you say, oh, you know, you all you want to do is blame the Rockies,
yeah.
Dick Monfort and
yeah.
Jeff Breidich, and the Rockies, just total ineptitude. And it's like it's a lot more than that. Nolan's got a share in this blame, too, here,
yeah.
Right? He's the one that got paid all this money and then forced his way out of here. Like he got his cake and he's eating it too.
Yeah, got a lot of cake.
Yes,
lot of cake.
The whole cake, and he's just shoving it all in, and just like with a big smile on his face and a couple fingers in the air at us over here. That's exactly what happened. But fans want to give him a pass because, you know, whatever. He's done a lot of good things here. He gets a pass.
Well,
I don't understand. I'm not giving out passes for that. I realize what's happened. And I'm not giving you a freebie.
The thing that changed the dynamic in my mind, because you and I were really going back and forth on this one in the ensuing like month after the trade went down, month or two. But what shifted it for me that had me going from like, because I said, hey, when Nolan comes back here, I'll give him a standing ovation. He was an all-time great player, this and that. The Rockies are dysfunctional. you know, and I'm not going to blame him, for, you know, or at least put all the blame on him. Throughout the whole time, I thought there was some blame to be had on some stubbornness and this and that. And
yeah.
If anyone knows who the Rockies are, it's the guy who's been here the longest, Nolan Arenado. And, but at the same time, I was still had the lion's share of the blame on Jeff Breidich and the Rockies. The thing that shifted it for me was even before the 2020 season took place, he was sending videos to members of the Cardinals saying, hey, show the GM.
Yeah.
That was within a calendar year of him signing the deal. And that, like, I'm trying to think about, like, what would that look like if we transferred that exact thing to, you know, Jokic.
Like, yeah.
Jokic is going to sign a Supermax, has already signed a big deal in the past, that if we found out, like, within the year of Jokic signing the deal, that, you know, he was sending videos of himself getting in the shape to, you know, the New York Knicks and saying, hey.
Get in the shape.
Or whatever.
Getting into shape?
Yeah, getting into shape.
Oh, okay.
So that seemed, that was secretive.
Yeah.
It was, seems
conniving,
underhanded.
Yes. Right, you just got the deal and you're doing that. I mean, and then you played like crap last year.
Yeah.
You played like crap. So your mind's elsewhere. And
he was miserable last season.
So people just, you know, people give out free passes and it's kind of like, here you go, whatever. Nolan, we love you no matter what type of thing. And, you know, I feel the same way about Carmelo. I can't feel one way about Carmelo and how he forced his way out of here.
Yeah.
And then give Nolan a pass. I mean, you either got to be, you know, no pass or pass. I'm a no pass guy. You're not getting a pass because, you know, what you did here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't get to just all of a sudden get paid and get this great contract and then force your way out and me just forget about that. But it's done. It's over now. But I just not going to just all of a sudden just forget about it and just give the standing O from you. Where are you at? Where are you at today?
So I'm glad you
June 18th.
I think I'm not a booer. I'm not going to boo
them. You don't like to boo. You would boo the Astros.
I would boo the Astros.
But you're not a booer overall.
I just don't like to boo. But I don't think I'll be cheering either.
But you won't boo?
No.
I'll boo. I'm a booer, and I have no problem booing. And I would boo.
When he comes back, he's come back for July, the second week of July for the All-Star game. He'll be here on July 2nd and July 3rd.
Oh.
That's in two weeks?
2 weeks.
When Nolan Arenado comes back, does he get more boos or more cheers?
My son asked me that the other night. Like 2 nights ago, Zach. And that's a tough one because you're going to have your loyal fan base that just loves Nolan no matter what because they remember the good times. They remember the blood and the jersey getting ripped off and the right, all that.
I'll tell you what, think about it. Think about it.
Okay.
Hit me up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. We will share some of these responses. If you were, you don't have to be there. If you were in attendance on July 2nd when Nolan Arenado comes back in town, would you cheer? Would you boo? Or would you just not do anything? All right? That answer from you, in addition to something could take place tonight that hasn't happened this year. Take a dive into that coming up next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, simple question. We threw it out there to the RamosLaw.com text line. If you are in attendance in 2 weeks when Nolan Arenado makes his return, do you boo or cheer?
I am going to guess that, and I think we kind of did this not too long ago, and I think the majority of it was boo. And I'm going to guess that he'll hear more boos than cheers because the boos will kind of drown out the cheers.
Mm.
And I think you'll be able to hear the boos more so than the cheers.
I'm seeing more boos here on the RamosLaw.com text line. When this first went down, it was the opposite.
Yeah.
And I think the more information that has come out,
It was what you talked about.
Yeah.
That's what did it. A lot of people are like so loyal to Nolan, you know, they just put their blinders on. He can do no wrong. Because you remember that bare hand, you know, flip to first.
He was so good, dude. He was
I saw Fuentes make a play.
You saw the play.
It was tremendous.
Okay.
Nolan who?
A lot of these guys can do it.
Right.
You know,
what made Nolan different is he could do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
So, anyway.
Someone says...
But it was that, Zach. It was the... You start to feel betrayed. Like, oh my gosh, wait, he told Wainwright to pass along my video of the video of him hitting to the Cardinals general manager, and then he ends up there a year later?
That was not cool.
Right.
Not cool.
Like, really?
Come on,
we supported you. And that's how you're going to roll after getting that
big deal?
Super
duper.
So, yeah, people, I think that was what did it. That's for like the people
you
that were
in a Rockies uniform.
If you're right in the middle, that's what did it.
Yeah. And then you have stuff like this. I'll cheer my heart out. Nolan's Father's Day walk-off homer, best Rocky ever. That's from Chris in the 303. There's folks out there like that too, and if that's your thought, that's fair too. That's because it's your thought. But I'm seeing more boos than cheers. So, all right, he's gonna be back here in 2 weeks. He's gonna be back here before.
Yeah, so we'll see.
And it's not. I think I may be going to that game. So
you are.
I think I may be going with our buddy Bearcat Jim. Maybe. So I'll be a correspondent.
What did Bearcat say?
He said he'd give him a standing ovation.
Bearcat's give him a standing O?
I'll be a correspondent for the temperature of cheers to boos ratio.
Oh, I got invited too. We both did.
You don't need to be there.
If I want to be there, I'll be there. No, I got invited. I would be boo. Bearcat's cheering. You're one of those guys. You're just sitting on your hands doing nothing. Because you don't like what he did, but you're not a booer.
Not a booer.
But you got to pick one. Like, you can't pick the middle lane. You either get in the double yellows or you don't.
If I was forced to choose.
Yes, you have to do one. You either have to boo or cheer. What are you going to do? Which one are you going to do?
What did you say about the double yellows?
What's the rule in driving in between a double yellow?
I'm like Emmanuel. I'm in between. I'm in between the double yellows.
What was it created for? Mercy, right?
Well,
I play for the Broncos.
I got a 9 o'clock meeting.
I had to be at work at 8.
That's 8 o'clock meeting, yes.
He's no longer a Bronco.
That's true.
I think he's going to kill in Buffalo, though. But if I were forced to choose, if I were to boo or to cheer, and you're forcing me to choose, I would give him a round of applause. Here's why. And I'm being forced to choose here. I'm choosing the greater sample size. You know what I mean? I'm choosing the years and the hundreds and hundreds of games that he played in. I think maybe he would like to have some things back. You know, we're none of us are perfect. I think that he'd maybe have to take some things back. I didn't like how he did it, how he went about it. At all. But if I was forced to choose, I'd probably, you know, put my hands together and give him a...
Okay. Fair enough. Hey, I think a lot of people will be like that and feel that way, and you'll have some that feel like me and want to boo.
Yeah.
And would boo.
And you see no difference between what he did and what Carmelo Anthony did.
Right. Kind of same thing. Forced their way out of town.
People don't give Melo a pass, that's for sure.
Right. Some people do. Some people do, but I think the majority feel like I do. And so why would I give Nolan a pass if I'm not going to give Carmelo a pass? To me, they're both very similar. You got stars in their prime and...
Forcing their way out.
Forcing their way out. And I think Nolan's might even be worse. Left us in a worse spot with what we got back in return.
Sure, sure, sure.
I don't know, though. You know, I don't know if that's accurate or not. You know, who left us more high and dry? Which deal?
The Nolan one did. There was way more coming back in return from New York. Way more. Way more.
And you didn't have to give up, you know, $50 million too, which cost you, obviously, when it comes to
everything.
How much you can spend in free agency. Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a team that is not financially able to go out there and be ultra aggressive and compete with other teams, right? And then all of a sudden, now you got to give $50 million plus your best player away. Yeah. I mean, that certainly doesn't help your future when it comes to your spending.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. This weekend, Father's Day.
Yes. Happy Father's Day to myself.
You got any plans there?
To all the other fathers out there. Do I have any plans? It might be baseball.
Okay.
Probably not. I don't think it will be baseball on Sunday. So usually Father's Day, you know, that's my day, right? Father's Day is my day. I do whatever I want, right? I mean, that's you get to decide what you want to do on Father's Day, right? That's the beauty of it being Father's Day, right? That's the way I look at it and view it. And my wife's always the same. And usually what I like to do is I like to go out and play golf and hang out and have the family come by or whatever. We'll have lunch and then, you know, play more golf or whatever. So I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen this year or not. It's been kind of one of those things where it's been hard to plan because of my son's baseball. So I don't know. We'll see. Whatever it is, if it's just low-key hanging out with the family or playing some golf, hanging out with the family, it's all good. But I'm going to enjoy it and have a good one. And the rest of the dads out there should enjoy it. And, you know, we do a lot of work, Zach, you know.
We do a lot of work.
We appreciate moms on Mother's Day.
Absolutely.
We appreciate dads on Father's Day. What's your plans? What are you going to do? You going to do any barbecuing? You got that new Traeger that you've been just glowing about? And
can't wait. Can't wait. Going to just have a nice day with the family. Going to cook, do all that fun stuff.
You're cooking?
I'm going to cook.
Grill?
Yes.
What are you grilling?
I don't know. I'm going to do something big. Do something big. I'll bring you some on Monday.
Ribs?
Maybe some ribs. Happy Father's Day. All the dads that do it right out there, man. You deserve your day. Have a great weekend. Stoke, enjoy it.
You too, buddy.
John Zimmer behind the glass. We step aside. We got the drive coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.